You're listening to Vatican Radio. Over 1,600 cities are gearing up to say yes to life and no to the death penalty as part of an annual initiative organised by the Rome-based St. Egidio community. Begun over a decade ago to raise awareness about the campaign to end capital punishment worldwide, the Cities for Life initiative now includes marches, meetings and symbolic events in cities right across the globe. Here in Rome, the three-day programme featured a meeting at the Italian Parliament on Thursday, an international summit of justice ministers on Friday, and will conclude with a ceremony for the lighting up of the Colosseum on Saturday, November the 30th. While the list of countries abolishing, suspending or commuting death sentences continues to increase, there has also been a number of nations, Gambia, Japan, India, Pakistan, Iraq, that have reintroduced or increased executions over the past year. Among the goals of the St. Egidio initiative is to highlight the Church's care and concern for the dignity of all people in prison, especially those on death row. Among those bringing powerful personal stories of serving as lay chaplain to prisoners on death row in Florida is lawyer and author Dale Resinella. Dale, welcome back to Vatican Radio. Lovely to have you with us again.
Thank you, Philippa.
You're here for the initiative, the Sant' Egidio three-day initiative, the annual occurrence of Cities for Life.
Well, Sant' Egidio has asked if I could be present here to share stories of my actual experiences as a representative of the Catholic Church on Florida's death row. So I will be sharing my experiences with the condemned, with their families, with the families of the crime victims, and also with the staff. It's very important. People forget how executions affect the staff in the prisons. So those stories are what they asked me to come and share with their participants in this wonderful event to celebrate our respect for life.
You've been doing this ministry there in Florida for several decades, haven't you?
I have been in prison ministry for 25 years. I have been in death row ministry for 16.
How important is an initiative like this, Cities for Life, to draw global attention to the campaign to end the death penalty?
Well, it's extremely important. Everyone has many, many demands on their time. And as the world has gotten much smaller, the needs of so many in so many different ways are clamoring for attention. And it's very easy for the needs of human beings being held out of sight in small cages until their government kills them, it's very easy for that to be left out of people's consciousness. And so an event like this is extremely important because it reminds people we still need to face this issue, but it's also important for the men and women who are in those cells, who are waiting to be killed, for them and their families to know that they're not forgotten, and especially that they're not forgotten by the Church. So often, the message I bring to a man on death row at his cell front is, the world may have forgotten you. Your government may have forgotten you except to kill you, but the Church has not forgotten you. And so the impact of seeing a rally of this kind on a global scale to bolster the hope and the spirits of people who are being held while their governments wait to kill them is incredibly significant.
It's important we see the sign of the Colosseum lighted up. That's vital that people can see this kind of symbolic witness. But telling the stories as you do is perhaps the most important way of reaching people about this issue, isn't it?
As Sister Helen Prejean reminds us all the time, people are drawn into the stories. The facts, the data, even the history, it's important. But what they take home with them is the human involvement, the human engagement that comes from being brought into the story of the human beings who are directly affected by this barbaric practice. And so the stories are very important because they put a human face on what the facts tell us about.
This year, while we're celebrating this initiative, there is some good news and some bad news, isn't there? There are more countries joining the moratorium, but there are also others reintroducing the practice of the death penalty.
On an international level.
Yeah.
Yes. I just learned last night that I believe Mongolia has entered the ranks of those who are no longer using the practice of the death penalty. There are some that are returning to it, usually out of political pressure. I am most familiar with our situation in the United States, where we have seen a succession of states, now six in a row, that have repealed the death penalty and joined the ranks of the states that do not even have the death penalty on their books. At the same time, my home state of Florida is the only state in the United States that seems to be ramping up to increase the number of new death sentences. And to those who are close to the situation, it makes no sense. It costs a fortune. It has no impact on crime. And so one has to guess, is this really about politics?
Why do you think exactly? Why is this being done?
It seems to be driven by a desire to appear tough on crime in a very simplistic way that really is ineffective and impotent. It has no effect on crime, but it looks and sounds good in a 10-second soundbite in electronic media. And so from my standpoint, I cannot imagine any possible explanation other than pure politics. Some would say killing for votes.
The effect of this means that you have witnessed personally a larger number of executions this past year than ever before.
Yes. Just to give you an example, the priest who was in this role of Cellfront Ministry, which carries with it the availability for a man when his death warrant is signed and he will be executed, he gets to ask for a spiritual advisor who is with him for the 5 weeks at his cell before he is killed by the state, and then who is there for him when he is killed. The priest who did this before me over a period of 16 years had 4 death watches and witnessed 4 executions. I have been on death watch 7 times and witnessed 4 executions in just the last 12 months. This is a real indication of the ramp up that is taking place in Florida, while even in the United States, the death penalty is in decline. Even in Texas, the number of new death sentences continues to drop. But in Florida, there seems to be this tremendous political push to try and be the state that saves the death penalty. And so we see this ramp up in new death sentences, in executions, that makes no sense economically. It makes no sense from the standpoint of really battling crime. It only plays well in the media on the 10 o'clock news.
What does the experience do to you, Dale? You've been there many times watching a prisoner being executed, and yet this repeated, increased number of times in which you're asked to be there right until the very end. How does it affect you?
That is a question that has a very complicated answer. We all know that those who work to relieve the suffering of people that are in terminal situations and who are suffering emotionally and psychologically because of it, that we carry some of that, even if we don't want to. It's just part of our human condition. We're not in heaven yet. And so when we walk with those who are suffering, we suffer with them. And so we have to turn to the answers our faith gives us to deal with that. And part of that is a Eucharistic consciousness, where we try to keep a conscious presence of the Eucharistic truth about suffering that allows us to participate with Christ even when we're carrying the suffering of others, and it's not our own death that is imminent, but those that we have allowed ourselves to care for. The other part of it is manifesting that Eucharistic consciousness to the man who is going to be killed at 6 o'clock. And what has become very powerful in my personal ministry to the men in the death house, and they literally have cell number 1, cell number 2, cell number 3. And so the next man who will be killed is in cell number 1. The one after him is in cell number 2. There's one after him in cell number 3. And I am sitting here with all 3 of them in front of me. And it's like in a sports event where you have the lineup. And what do I share with them? And we talk about Jesus Christ, the prisoner. Jesus Christ, who allowed himself as an innocent man to be executed by capital punishment. And we talk about how even Jesus, in his humanness, suffered death watch in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died. And in his flesh, he experienced the emotional and psychological trauma that these men are experiencing. And it is transforming for them to see themselves not as garbage, but to see this actual process of the state declaring them unfit to live and killing them, that even in this, they can identify with our Savior who did this too. And so that is the message I'm there to bring.
You're there to bring this incredibly powerful witness also to Catholics outside, Christians who've never been inside a death row prison. Why is it that Catholics still see the death penalty as compatible with their faith?
Well, at least on this score, I must start with a confession. Even as an 18-year-old, I was an activist in the pro-life movement in the United States, but I was pro-capital punishment. Because somehow in my mind, which had not yet been as redeemed as I hope it is now, pro-life was about particular issues, but the death penalty was about justice. It was actually two things that changed my mind. One was, as a lawyer, and I'm still a lawyer, when I learned the truth about how the death penalty works as a legal system, I was horrified. I was ashamed. It was abhorrent. And I could not in any way, shape, or form support this monstrosity of inconsistent rules and laws that focus on the poor and the marginalized, and yet leave the powerful untouched for not just the same, but even much worse things. So first, as a professional, I was horrified. But then when I read what my church had to say about the death penalty, I realized this is about the dignity of human life. This is a life issue. And so both my mind and my heart were changed. Well, now, my wife and I are frequently used by the bishops to speak to the people who are where I was when I was 18. They're strongly in the Respect Life movement, which is the Catholic arm of the pro-life movement, but they don't yet know that the death penalty is part of that. They don't yet know the church's teaching that capital punishment is a life issue. And so I am able to stand up in front of them and very humbly say, I too had to allow the church to teach me, and I share my journey with them and ask them and invite them to step into the fullness of the church's teaching on life, which is that even a person who has done grievous wrong still has the image of God imprinted upon them, and they still have the dignity of human life. And we cannot justify extinguishing that life when we have non-lethal means to protect society. And of course we do. We know how to do that. And so it is coming. It is coming slowly. And the bishops in Florida have been fantastic. Archbishop Winsky from Miami, our bishop in St. Augustine, who is the Episcopal moderator for Respect Life, are very serious about the death penalty as a life issue. Every diocese in the state of Florida has a church vigil scheduled every time there is an execution. They also remember the victims of the crime and their families, but they make a point of saying visibly, as the church, we cannot support the taking of human life when it's not necessary to protect society.
My thanks there to Dale Resinella, lay Catholic chaplain to prisoners on death row in Florida.